Last time I was before Bishop Fabian, oh, and that was a great weekend last week, isn't it? Yeah. And I am hoping that next year we can have him here for a few days. What do you think? Would it be a good idea? Yeah. We can have Bishop Fabian bless us. I am sure that we will never again be the same. Amen. All right. So now we're just wrapping up our study on lay people, ordinary people, regular people, everyday people, and how they can help in the church. Isn't it? Yes. Right. So last time I was sharing with you from chapter 7. That was the week before Thanksgiving. Chapter 7, and I was sharing with you how lay people or ordinary people can share the burden of doing the work of God or taking care of God's people. Amen. Now, taking care of God's people or the burden of looking after God's people was never meant to be something for pastors only. Amen. God intends that pastors will prepare his people to do the work, isn't it? Now, let's read this verse one more time before we get into this. Ephesians chapter 4 and from verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and from verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 says, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Do you have, we were reading a particular version during that time, isn't it? Right? So let's read that version again. All right. Now, he's the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. You know, you can record now, all right? So, one more time. He's the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Verse 12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Say amen. Amen. It couldn't be clearer, isn't it? What is the responsibility of the pastor? Let's start. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, right? These are all gifts. They are all gifts. If you have one of these, you have a gift. Amen. Right. Now, what is the purpose of the gift? The next verse. The purpose of the their responsibility. Can we read this together? One, two, three, go. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Amen. So when you have a church where the building work is being done only by the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, that is a dysfunctional church. That is a church that is not functioning like a church is supposed to function. Hallelujah. It is God's people. He said they must equip God's people to do his work. How many God's people are here? How many of you see yourself as God's people? Raise up your hand. Let me see. You consider yourself as one of God's people. Raise up your hand. Right. So then you must expect to do his work. What do you think? Yeah. So to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. So the work of building up the church is a work for God's people. Amen. Amen. The work of building up the body of Christ, building up the church, is a work for God's people. And the pastor's job is to equip them and to train them and to develop them for that work. Amen. Amen. Then if we do that, verse 13 says, Verse 13 says, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. So working for God produces maturity.
That's right.
The way we mature in Christ is through working for Him. Isn't it? It's not just by being around. The way you show that you're mature is through what you can do.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You exercise yourself and you work and you do things in the house of God. And that is how you mature. Amen. That is how you mature. You have some people who sometimes have grown up but have not matured. You get it? Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about regular life. You have people who are grown up. They can't cook. They're grown up. They can't clean. You're grown up. They can't keep a house. I mean, you're grown up. I mean, if you get one of those people into your house, I mean, to live permanently with, it won't be easy for you. You see that you've got a grown up, but they can't do anything. That is because they were not made to work. They were allowed to eat. They were fed, which is what made them grow up. But they did not mature. They did not develop properly. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That's why they can't sweep. That's why they can't dust. That's why they can't clean. They don't even have the senses exercised to discern what is wrong. See, there's a verse here that you should really see. You should see this verse real quick. You know. It says strong meat, right? Strong meat, you know, belongs to those who have their senses exercised, right? And it says the exercise of the senses is by reason of use. Hebrews 5 and verse 14, right? Let us read from verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he's a babe. Can you see that? He's a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Right? Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do you get it? So, when people are growing up in Christ, their development in Christ and your ability to discern good and evil, you know, is a result of exercise. It's a result of work. And it says, the exercise is by reason of use. That means using or working, you see, activity. That is what causes people to grow up, you know, in their sense of discernment to be able to separate what is right from what is wrong. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
I think it's complex. It says strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised or trained to discern both good and evil. So all I'm saying is that maturity in Christ is a product of not just coming to church and sitting down, but getting involved and doing something. That is how people grow in the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's how you grow in the Lord. Amen. I mean, if you keep just showing up at church and just going back and you just go to church and go back, I mean, you can go to church and go back for so many years and still find you are just a baby in Christ. You still find you don't know any scriptures. You can't quote any scriptures. You can't lead anybody to Christ. You can't comfort anybody who that needs to be comforted. You can't encourage anyone who needs to be encouraged. You can't help anybody because you have not been involved in the work. You have just attended. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? Right. So, in chapter 7, we're talking about how to share the burden with the lay people. And we said, we were reading from Numbers chapter 11 and verse 16. And the Lord said to Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel. Numbers chapter 11 verse 16. The Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with you. Amen. Not stand there against you.
Hey, can you see that?
Not stand there in opposition to you. See, many pastors have people who are standing in opposition to them. They are standing there, but not with him. They are not on the same side. They are on the other side. They are finding fault with what he's doing. They are more eager to expose what he's not doing right. They're more eager to expose his weaknesses. They're more eager to expose what's not working. Instead of getting involved to help what's not working to work, they have become exposers and identifiers of what is not working. Are you getting it? So God said, Moses, you need to have some people who will take a stand and stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Hallelujah. So you can see that God wants ordinary people to be involved. Hallelujah. Now these people are not prophets like Moses. God said, if you just gather them together, I can come and take of the spirit that is upon you, and I'll place it on them, so that in those people, I can replicate your passion, I can replicate your interests, I can replicate your burden, I can replicate your drive in those people. So that instead of there being one Moses, there will be 71 Moseses. Can you see that? There will be Moses plus 70 other people who think just like him. In other words, if you were looking to see Moses and you met one of these 70 guys, you might as well just go home after that. Because he would tell you exactly what Moses would have told you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Remember, the context of this is that Moses used to wake up in the morning and he would work with these people all by himself all day. And he was getting exhausted, and the people became a burden on him, and then he started to become suicidal. He started to talk and he began to say to the Lord that, you know, if this is how it's going to be, I want you to kill me. I don't want to live. I don't want to see my wretchedness. I don't want to see myself fail at this job, Lord. So please just take me out. And God said, you know, the job is the job. That's the way it is. But I'm going to help you. I'll give you another way of doing the same job. And that is to introduce lay people. Introduce regular people. Introduce some of the people who have been around to help you to do the work. That is how God chose to help Moses. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. So we went on to talk about some of the things that lay people can do. And one of them is lay people will help you deal with ungrateful and forgetful sheep. Isn't it? And I think we talked about that extensively. Number two is that lay people will help you overcome disloyalty in the congregation. Hallelujah. Lay people will help you overcome disloyalty. They will help you fight disloyalty in the church. The presence of zealously committed lay workers always inspires more loyalty in the ranks. Lay people who do not earn money from the church are a great support for every pastor, right? Lay people who are loyal will report what is going on in the congregation. Amen. Yeah. Because sometimes the only way you get to know what attention people need is through other members of the congregation. There are many people who need attention, but who are either not bold enough to bring it up. Sometimes they are shy. Sometimes they just feel they will not be heard. Sometimes they think no one is interested in them. Do you see? Yeah. But they have another person, a friend, an ordinary person, a lay person who is not a pastor.
Yeah.
Who happens to know this person is going through such and such a situation. And such a person can come and say it. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Such a person can come and say it. Come and say that, you know, so and so is going through that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So and so is going through this situation. There is no need to hide a situation that is killing you. Because when it kills you, we all know anyway.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not that private. Because by the time you are dead, more people than ones you're trying to hide it from will get to know about it.
Wow.
The Bible says there is no temptation that is overtaking you, but such as is common to man. See, it is hard for people to believe that we have common problems. Common as in your problem is not peculiar to you. If you're a human being, there is only a certain spectrum of problems you can have. Do you see what I'm saying? For example, if she has a car and she tells me her car is in the shop, I may not know which specific reason, but I know that if it's not the engine, it is the tire. If it's not the tire, it is what? The air conditioner. If it's not the air conditioner, it'll be the brakes. If it's not the brakes, maybe the rotors, huh? If it's not the rotors, it is what?
Transmission.
If it's not the transmission, maybe one of the lights are not working, isn't it? Huh? There's nothing like a chest problem with a car. It's not one of the problems you can have. That you're going to the garage. What is wrong with your car? My car has chest pains.
Hey.
There's nothing like that. We have a certain unhealthy guardedness about our problems. And a certain loyalty to them. You see, your loyalty is misplaced. When you're going through a difficulty, the Bible says that whoever hides his sins will not prosper. But the one who confesses and forsakes, distances themselves from that problem, that person will obtain mercy. A lot of things are destroying people because the people are excessively and unnecessarily private.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a privacy that is unnecessary.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not necessary. Sometimes you can take a look at someone and you can tell that all is not well. Do you not recognize that in people?
Yeah.
Don't you, Amma, don't you see people and you can just tell there's something not quite right?
Yeah.
Yeah, whether they tell you or not, that's a different thing. But at least you can tell that they are not, that something is not quite right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a doctor sees you. You know, remember that strong meat is for those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When someone has been doing it for a while, he has his spiritual senses exercised to discern good and evil. That is how a doctor can look at you and can see some yellowness in your eyes and can see some things which you think you're hiding. So the doctor is asking you, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And you try to be very bubbly and the person can see from the yellowness in your eyes that you are dying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so you see, people don't talk. People don't come forth with issues they need to bring up. But what we are saying is that ordinary people can help the pastor by bringing up such issues. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And all they would have done is to help you.
Yeah.
All they would have done is to help you.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah.
If you went to visit your cousin and your cousin is sick and is sick and dying but refuses to call 911, you decide to call 911 for them. They may hate you for it. But they'll be glad they lived. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah? So there's nothing wrong with a healthy sharing of information with leadership and with people who have the ability to do something about it. See, the difference between gossip and this kind of information sharing is that gossip usually just trades information with people who have no intention nor ability to do anything about it. The only benefit they get from it is knowledge.
Yeah.
Did you know that any, you know any? You know, don't look. She just got herself a beloved. And guess what? The guy doesn't like her anymore. That is it. You just passed on that information. She has no clue. Even sometimes she doesn't even know who in is. We have to take some time to show her who in is. And you pass on information that she cannot do anything about. That is gossip. Gossip is just sharing it for its sake. Sometimes to break the silence, some people feel compelled to talk. Yeah. So they start to sort of reach deep into issues and try to look for things that don't concern you just to talk about. That is gossip. But that is different from a healthy reporting or, you know, sharing of information with someone who is charged with the responsibility of looking after that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope this difference is really clear. Yes. And they won't always be happy with you. But you see, if you live your life trying to please people, the Bible says you will not be a servant of God. If you live to please people, you know, I mean, you are pleasing human beings, people who are naturally sinful. Our tendency is more towards bad things. So if your aim is to please us, you're not likely to please God. So you think about it. I mean, our tendency, our leaning is more, we are more inclined towards doing sinful things, things that are not right. That's more of where our leaning is. So anybody whose aim is to please us will not please God. Amen. When you do that, you do not please God. God wants us to share information. He wants people and lay people, ordinary people, can help. Amen. Ordinary people can help. There's some group of people in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 11, where some people went to report an issue to God, to Paul. 1 Corinthians, it says, for it has been, can you give us that same other version again? The New Living Translation again. Let's see how it sounds in that one. It says, for some members of Chloe's household. Can you see that? Some members of Chloe's household have told me about your arguments. Can you see that? Dear brothers and sisters, he said, some members of Chloe's household have told me about your arguments. some people were arguing. They were having a fight in the church. And somehow the Lord did not reveal it to Apostle Paul by a dream or by revelation or whatever. We all know Apostle Paul. He had a lot of visions and revelations and dreams, but this was not one of them. For this one, a particular person from a particular home, do you understand, who also didn't mind their name being mentioned.
That one.
Yeah. Sometimes people want to tell you things, but they don't want you to say, you know. And sometimes I have people who call me from another place, maybe like say in another state. And then they tell me something. And they say, well, you talk to the person, but don't tell them. I said, so I say to the person, now it's so obvious that I don't live in New York or Maryland or something like that. How do I come by such information? And you so desperately want me to do something about it without mentioning you. So what am I supposed to do? But if your true aim is to help, do you know, if that is your true aim, you must not mind that someone will be upset with you for helping. What do you think? Yeah? See, when you take a knife from a kid and she screams and she's crying, does that bother you so much? Why not? Huh? You feel she would help hurt herself? Really? Really? But that's not her intention. Huh? You, the older one, know that this is dangerous for her. She doesn't think so. So you take it from her. That's why she's screaming. What about if she says she won't talk to you the rest of the day? You'll still be okay. How about the rest of the week? You'll still be okay. You are still glad you took the knife from her. Yeah. But how come it doesn't, we don't do that when it comes to older people? Sometimes you see two friends. They know that the other one is dating somebody's husband. Yeah. The other one, the other person knows it.
Don't mention my
yeah.
name.
But if I say something about it, she's not going to talk to me anymore. And she will not give me rights. And you know I need my rights. So she's the one that's carrying the bomb. She should just carry it. And let it explode in her face. And you call that love.
Yes.
That is wickedness. Yeah. Wickedness. If I knew there was a bomb in a car and I watched you go sit in the car and down the road the car explodes, what would you call me?
Wicked.
Wicked. Yeah. No, in Christianity there's a lot of things you have to do that will not necessarily please people.
Yeah.
You see, but God is the one we must aim at pleasing, not people. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not people. Even those people who turn around, I remember there was one brother, he was an unbeliever. And then he pursued one of the Christian sisters in a certain church. And pursued her and pursued her and pursued her until she gave in to him. And then he married her.
Wow.
So she married an unbeliever. Now, down the line in the marriage, he got saved.
Wow.
As soon as he got saved, he came home and said, but you are a Christian and you married me, an unbeliever like that. You are not a good Christian.
Oh.
And then he left her.
Oh.
I said, no. You're not a good Christian.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a point there.
And he said, no, I cannot live with such a person. He said, you are not serious about this, your so-called Christianity. You are not serious about it. And his proof was that if you were serious about it, he said to her, if you were serious about it, you wouldn't marry someone like me.
Wow.
It's amazing, isn't it? But he shouldn't have left her. No. He shouldn't have. Yeah. He shouldn't have.
I just said it there, just laugh about it.
Yeah. Amen. How many understand what I'm sharing with you? He said, look, look at it. Look at the sort of quarrel that was going on among these people. Look at it. He says, some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos. Or I follow Peter. Or I follow Christ. You see, this is what was dividing people in the church. Some people said, I like Paul. Some people said, I like Apollos. And then others said, okay, as for me, I don't like Paul. I don't like Apollos. I just like Christ. You know, then someone said, I'm a Peter person. You know, and they were dividing the church. And you see, and when they would see Paul, they wouldn't say any of this.
Huh?
Yes. What is the next one? Can Christ be divided into pieces? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? So now he's solving the problem. Do you get it? So this is the understanding that the people don't have. Thank God for those people in the house of Chloe. You understand? If they had not come to say this, Paul would not realize that all along, I mean, in spite of everything he was preaching and teaching, the minds of the people were that, you know, the key thing here is, who do you belong to? Paul, are you a Paulist? or a Peterist? You see, yeah. Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Then the next verse, he says, I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. Then he says, for now, no one can say they were baptized in my name. You know, and verse 16. Oh yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. But I don't remember baptizing anybody else. So, okay, I remember. Yeah. Amen. And then the next one. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news. And not with clever speeches and high-sounding ideas, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. See, this is the whole thing, that he was trying to focus people onto Christ. But as it had turned out, the people were now thinking, Paul, Apollos, and so on, just like we do. Our aim as pastors is to direct you to Christ. But sometimes the way we do it, maybe with so much expression, charisma, or whatever, you kind of fall in love with the pastor instead of the person that the pastor is trying to lead you to. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah? And any pastor who is genuine, when he sees that, must want to correct that. And Paul was saying, look, I'm so glad that I didn't baptize any of you except these two guys. I'm so glad. Oh, well, anyway, and this other guy too, you know. But I'm so glad that, because if I had baptized all of you, you would have been saying by now that you are saved in the name of Paul. Yeah. How disappointed he was. But all of this was revealed because somebody, a lay person, you know, helped the pastor by coming to say something that has to be said. How many understand that? Yes. And that is a good thing. I said that is a good thing. That is a good thing. Hallelujah. Sometimes people are complaining. Sometimes people are talking. People are, you know, bad-mouthing the church. I mean, as you're trying to build a church, no one wants to go to a church where if I told you, listen, this Christmas I have a very beautiful vacation package for you. I've bought you a very nice ticket, and there's a place you can go and stay in Aleppo. Do you know Aleppo? Who knows Aleppo? You know Aleppo? Okay, too few of you know Aleppo, so let me change it. What about, to go to Syria for vacation this Christmas. No? Have you been to Syria before? So why aren't you interested in my Syria vacation package? Doesn't sound like a nice place.
No, I've heard too bad things about
it. You've heard too many bad things about the place. That's the thing. The reason why she doesn't want to go to Syria is not because... Are you interested in a vacation this Christmas?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
So I have a nice vacation, first class ticket.
Okay.
Hotel paid for.
Uh-huh.
All expenses paid.
Yeah.
But Syria.
No.
No. Yeah. No. What about you? No. You don't want my ticket, vacation package to Syria?
No.
Really? Felix, what about you? No. No, thank you. Thank you, but no. Really? No, you don't want to go to Syria for vacation. Have you been to Syria before?
No, but I've heard some.
But you've heard. So it means then that what people hear affects their decision to get involved or not involved with something.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now here we are trying to build a church. As we're trying to build a church, if we have people among us who keep talking and keep saying negative things about the church, you're going to have people who will swear, I will never attend Lighthouse Church, even though they've never attended one before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it will be based solely on what they've heard about the church.
Yeah, it's true.
How many understand that?
Yeah.
Exactly. Amen. So when people, and that happens especially when people are offended or people are hurt by something or something happened that people are not so happy with or something like that, then they start to say negative things about the church. Who wants to go to a church where all you hear about the church is just bad stories? But every church has stories.
Yeah.
Because a church is like a hospital. It's not a place, it's not an assembly of perfect people. It's an assembly of imperfect people who come to church to get better.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes depending on what stage people are in that process, there can be some real freakish stories about people who belong to a church. Do you get it? You can have church members who have all kinds of stories about them. Wild stories. But they are a work in progress. That is what we exist for. God brought us together so he can work on us, clean us up and prepare us for heaven. Hallelujah. So you shouldn't be surprised if there's a problem with people in the church. You shouldn't be surprised if there are individuals who have certain difficulties or who struggle with certain sins. You shouldn't be surprised. Don't be surprised if you meet one of our members standing at the street corner with a big cigar on his lips, you know, and with his hand on some lady's butt and with his lay people book. Because this is how you're going to know he's one of us. That he just closed from church. Oh, you shouldn't be surprised. You shouldn't be surprised. He's a work in progress. He's a work in progress. Are you getting what I'm saying? You shouldn't look at that and say, this is the proof that that's not a good church. This is the proof that that's not a good church. Yeah, look at their members. They're doing this. No, we're working on them.
Yeah.
We're working on them.
Yeah.
That's why we have services every week. We're working on the people. And the message today is that you can help us help the people.
Amen.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Amen.
Instead of joining or standing against us.
Hey.
Do you get it? Instead of joining people who have negative things to say, people who betrayed the church, people who have been in the church, who have experienced and tasted good things in the church, but who somehow maybe have a bad experience and become bitter and very sour, and they start to poison everybody about the church. And because of that, you find people who've never even been to the church before, who don't want to go there. They have already predetermined and decided that I will never go to such and such a church. And when you ask, why wouldn't you do that? They say, I hear, that's what they'll say. Say, I hear in your church. They do this. In your church, they do that. Some people, I mean, our church is accused of all sorts of things. They say that we only have intellectuals in our church. Yeah. So I hear in your church, if you are not a doctor, you cannot belong to it. Yeah. Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor? Are you members of the church? Really? You're not a doctor? You're not a doctor? You're not a doctor? So it means what they're saying is not true. Yeah. We have two doctors. One, two. This one. Three. This one. One, two, three. Ah, my wife. Yes. Four of them. Because of four people in the church, all of us have been... Look, you should celebrate it because you are all being called doctors. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. People say all sorts of things about the church. And lay people can help. Lay people, ordinary people, the ones who hear such things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when people see me, they are not likely to say what they think about our church. No. When people see me, they just say nice things. They just smile and, oh, so this is the pastor of the Lighthouse Church. Oh, I see. Oh, okay, pastor. And the person has these ideas. Just when I leave, that's when they unfold their real ideas. But thankfully, God still has you there.
Amen.
So the pastor may not be there, but you are there.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. They've never been here before, but they have their own ideas about the church. But thankfully, God has you there. And you, as an ordinary layperson, can rise up and say, no, that's not the case. That's not the case. You can explain things. You can take people on, take on the argument, and explain it and settle it such that people have a favorable impression of the church and decide to come. Isn't that a great help for the church? That would be a great blessing. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So, I think that will be it for today. Amen. And we'll continue next time. I'm really enjoying this, so... not moving fast enough, but don't worry, it's our own church.
Oh, yeah.
I told you, it's not a syllabus, so it's not like we have to finish this by December. Right? Okay. So next time, we'll talk about more ways that people can help. Amen. Lay people can help, right? It says, you are not greater than your master Jesus. I'm reading from the middle of number two. The fact that someone may betray you one day makes it very difficult for you to happily interact and flow with people. Look closely at the ministry of any great man of God. You will discover that they all have had their fair share of traitors. All of this contributes to the burden and the difficulty of ministry. Right? And this is a verse. This is a very interesting verse. Psalm 41 and verse 9. It says, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted and did eat of my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I'm sure some of you have experienced this before.
Oh, yeah.
Where a close friend has now lifted up their heel against you. Hallelujah. Right. Anyway, stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. We will continue next time. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let us pray. Just bow your heads, everybody, and talk to God about what you've heard and what you've learned today. Just say, Lord, I pray that I'll be one of those people, lay people that you can count on, that you can use to build your church, to help your work, that I will not be a burden to the work, but rather I'll be a blessing to the work. I'll be a blessing to what is going on in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I want you to use me. I want you to use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Help me. Use me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Makasotole malama shakatari alababaya. Pray for yourself and say, Lord, there are some people who work against what you're building, but there are people who help to build it, who work to build it, and I want to be one of those people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sheke mala babara masatana baba. Imolo shetele belebe kandari ala mamu shetari ala baba. Eka mala babu shetele babaya molo sheke deya. Ye makada bala babaru setel mala babaya. Ila molo mushadari ala babara bala babara mushadari ala babaya la babaya. Ilo kondoria la babo sakafana mala babara bala 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 mushadaria. Oh yes, Lord. Come on, just pray and say, Lord, I want to take a stand with your work, not against it, not against it, not against it. I want to take a stand with what you're building in the name of Jesus. Makabolo shatara bala 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 bala. Ekamolo shatara bala bala bala. Emala babu shandaria bala 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 bala. Ikamulu seteri ala babu seteri ala bala 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 bala. Jesus, that we may be used by you. That we may be used by you, Lord. We want to be used by you, Lord. We want to be used by you, Lord. Build your church through us. Build your church through us, Lord. Build your church through us. Makamolo sheteriyala papaya. Oh, yes, Lord. Masatariyala bakanariya. In the name of Jesus. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you so much for today. And thank you for the blessedness of hearing your word. Thank you for revealing to us how we can help, how we can help to build and establish your church. We thank you for this privilege. Now, as we close the service this afternoon, I want to pray with you if you're here this afternoon and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be a child of God. I want to live like a true Christian from today. If there's anybody here like that, I want to invite you to lift up your right hand quietly and I'll pray with you. You shouldn't go home from this service in the same state in which you came. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, if you have not been washed by His blood, it means that if you were to drop dead today, your destination eternally is hell. But God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That's why he gave Jesus for us. Jesus and his death on the cross is not a fable. This is a true provision that God has made for your salvation. And you will have to accept him today. I want to encourage you to accept him today and to ask him to be Lord over your life so that God can get involved with your life from today. So if that is your prayer, just lift up your right hand. I want to see it and I want to pray for you. Maybe also you're here, you've given your life to Christ, but you've not been serious in your walk with him. God wants to help you. God wants to establish you. God wants to help you to be established in him. And so if you're also here, I want to pray with you too. Is there anybody like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody like that? All right. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
Say, I believe with my heart.
I believe with my heart.
That you are Lord.
That you are Lord.
And I confess with my mouth.
And I confess with my mouth.
God raised you from the dead.
God raised you from the dead.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Forgive my sins, Lord.
Forgive my sins, Lord.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash
me. Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Say, Lord.
Lord.
The areas where I struggle.
The areas where I struggle.
In my walk with you.
In my walk with you.
Please give me strength.
To overcome.
Please give me strength to be victorious in private, Lord. When no one is around, when no one can see me, please give me strength to overcome and help me to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Are you blessed today? How many are glad you came to church? Amen. You may be seated.